This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, Season 2, Episode 13, Editing Videos and Making Changes in Your Classroom.
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the Instructional Technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. So, Brent, anything new?
I have been really busy. There's just a lot of outside committee things and trying to figure out all sorts of things for the upcoming year. Like, you know, the conversations about what's going to happen next school year, even into fall, are starting to line in and starting to pour in. So it just gets, you know, people start asking questions and what's school going to look like. And so it's been keeping my plate pretty full. How about you?
Many of the same. A lot of people are asking what's the future going to look like. And, you know, my crystal ball is not so crystal. So yeah, it's been a lot of the same things going on that have been, but it's very strange. We're starting to see more people on campus. So We'll see what happens with that. The athletes started coming back this week.
Oh, okay. So you're peeking out the window and seeing things going on in the background.
Well, not from the angle I am, but yes.
All right. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about editing videos and making changes. So I think we should just jump into it.
Sounds good.
All right. So Tim, you brought up this idea of like talking about editing videos because it's just, it's huge these days, right? Everything.
Right.
We actually, today in class, I had a student say like, hey, you know, are you recording all of this? You know, and now it's getting to the point where students are expecting like you're recording and hey, I can go check it out again later. And so that adds to our workloads as teachers and as you, as an instructional technologist, like that's a lot more work. We used to just be able to close the door and walk out and be done for the day. But now there's like, what's the whole process after that? Right.
Right. And it's really important because there's a couple of different things that come up. One, before your class, if you, like many people, start the recording automatically when you start a meeting, then you might have people introducing themselves, talking, just chit-chatting before class. Is that really important in your class if you're going to review that later for a recording? In fact, that might not be good. The other part is you do a breakout room. If you forget to pause your recording, that can be 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is you've got in a breakout room that's not recorded at all. And that's just dead space.
Right.
So that's useless to the person. Again, they're just sitting there watching a blank screen, something like that. That's not useful. And even more important is confidentiality. How many times after class does a student say, hey, Mr. Warner, and tell you something and you're sitting there going, oh no, this is recorded. Mm-hmm. So you want to edit that out. You want to get rid of some of those things. That's why it's important. Now, if you don't have any of those problems, man, don't edit. Save yourself the time.
Yeah. I'm just going to jump in here because I think one of the biggest issues is like, once we kind of get in teaching mode, most teachers haven't trained themselves to think of their editing in the moment, right? Like, hey, I want to be editing live. I want to be cutting this out. I want to be pausing it. I want to, you know, like, it's just, we've already got a whole plate and the, you know, the day's curriculum planned and all that type of stuff. And it's like, wow. So now I have to add this whole extra layer on top of it. I think it just drops out of people's minds when they're running their regular classes, right? It's just not part of their regular procedure. And even if it was, it's like, I'm pretty good at remembering to pause when we go on break, but that's about the limit of, you know, on off pause and there we go.
Right. And by the way, I'm the same way. When I record something, I have now learned to, okay, when I'm typing, I stop talking and I type the paragraph that I'm going to type. And then I start talking again, I go back and I edit it and I speed that up. So it looks like I'm really fast. And the minute it took me to type that, all takes 2 seconds.
Right.
But because it's not about me typing, it's about the content. So those types of things are good. You learn how to do those, but unfortunately it's editing. It takes time. And I don't want to add extra work to you guys. That's not the purpose for this, but I really, especially when it comes to confidentiality, there's been a couple of times when I realized, oh no, I recorded something and I'm really glad I did look back at it.
Yeah.
And somebody said something confidential or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that getting out in any public way.
Yeah, I mean, there can be cases of private conversations. There can be cases of, like, maybe a student comes in and tells you a problem that they have with another student, right? Like, there's all sorts right. of things that, you know, you could probably get in trouble for. I'm not sure. I'm not going to make any statements on that. But, like, it could certainly, at the very least, it could be, you know, very hurtful. So definitely something to be careful about. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about tools, some editing tools, right? I think there's lots of different things. We all know some of them, but let's run over them.
So there's a lot of different tools, and part of it we're looking at, while I'm an instructional technologist, I want simple. Mm-hmm. My job is not to be editing videos all day long. Okay. Really? And I know you can feel that pain too. Some days it feels like it, but so I look for what is simple. And I know that many schools have Camtasia. Mm. It's a great package. It lets you do all kinds of things. I'm sorry, for me, I find it too complicated. I've never made Camtasia work right for me even once. So it's a great package. I'm not knocking it. Yeah. It's incredible. Adobe Premiere is another one that a lot of schools have access to, and you might have it. If you know it, if you put any time into it, it's a really superb package.
Yeah, those are both fairly advanced. Adobe Premiere is like movie editing style.
So, it is.
I mean, straight up movie editing. But Camtasia is pretty advanced. But, if you're trying to get some little fancy with your videos and do call outs and, you know, add a lot of the features in there. I used to work with it a bit, and it was pretty great. Like, you know, when I was doing that kind of editing, it was like, oh, okay, I like a lot of these tools. So I can see where people who are looking for a little bit higher end would definitely find some value out of it.
Absolutely. It is a great package.
And then also point out too, the Adobe Premiere thing or Camtasia, even though we're talking about these are not free programs, but as you mentioned, many schools have them and just don't tell their faculty about it. I mean, I know this to be true because it's like I had to do searching around when I was at previous schools and I'd be like, okay, well, what's going on? And then it's like some secret back page. And it's like, oh yeah, if you just send this one person who works in the basement an email, it's like, okay, like shouldn't this be front page information for faculty? So do the research. If you're not at IVC, go figure it out. See what you can find.
Absolutely. And by the way, we do have access to both of those. Adobe Premiere, you can run on your personal computer. Camtasia, we have to install on one of ours. But that said, there's a number of other packages. Brent, you had a couple of them that you had thought of as well.
Yeah. Well, I know you like Screencast-O-Matic, and I like it too. I got a pretty good subscription, a three-year subscription on sale for
$36.
Yeah, no, it is $36, but I actually got it on sale for $22.
I looked it up today, and this is what I had paid was the $36. Yeah. And that is so cheap. 22, man.
Yeah, I know. It's cheap regardless. Like, you don't have to worry about it, but but it's, you know, well, I mean, you do. Like, it's not fair because it costs money, and people you know, put their own money into these things. But I do like Screencast-O-Matic pretty well. It gets the job done, right?
It's very simple in both ways. Yeah. It's not complicated to do, but it also is not going to do a really good job of really complicated, you know, three tracks of voice and stuff like that coming in. It will not be able to handle very well. But for whatever I've needed, it's nice and quick.
Yeah. So for me, and this is maybe a Mac thing, I'm not sure, but the one issue that I've had is that I can launch it once and I can record, but when I stop mm-hmm. it and then try to go again, it glitches out and it's like, go give me access again to the root things. Like, and it's like, that is what has stopped me from loving it. And I've moved to explore different options because of that.
I understand. I wound up having that problem on my Windows computer.
Oh, you did.
But it was after I had recorded. Now, granted, I was doing, 20 recordings in a row type of thing. And after I'd record every 3 to 5, it would have that problem. I'd close the program, reopen the program and start all over again. And it worked.
Yeah.
But I'd had to close it out of everything, almost like reboot my computer type of close it out.
Yeah. Like so you shouldn't have to do that.
That felt funky. Yes.
Okay.
But that's fairly new. So I'm hoping they fixed it in the latest, but Mac also has some other tools that I'm not as familiar with,
yeah,
but I've heard about. Me being a Windows guy, one of the reasons I've thought about buying a Mac actually.
Well, I mean, of course the famous Mac one is iMovie, right? So with right. iMovie, like it's built right in. Part of the reason they always say like Mac is such a premium price and like it's expensive, more expensive than a Windows machine, or this used to be the old argument, but like mm-hmm. it came with a full suite of massive tools that would cost you an extra $1,000 just to add on top of your Windows, right? So with
there you go with the extra price. Yeah. It's paid for. Yes.
Yeah. So so I think, I would say that if someone's listening that's a Mac person, they're already familiar with iMovie because like they did such a big push on that for so many years. Although it's not as strong these days. Some other ones that are not Mac exclusive, a lot of the ones that are popular, Screencastify is a really, really mm-hmm. big one amongst teachers. So Screencastify and Screencast-O-Matic are fairly similar to each other. Same type of thing. Click it. The nice thing I like about Screencastify is that it goes into a Chrome browser, and so you can just click it right there on your extensions and make it work, which is pretty good feature. Another one that I've gotten access to is called WeVideo, and some of my teacher friends are just nuts about it. They say this is like whatever iMovie used to have, and they kind of have dropped over the last couple of years, WeVideo has picked it up and just run. Like they're like really good, really well done. And the great thing is it's all online. So all online editing. So it just, you don't have to have anything special. You can, if you just need a high speed internet connection.
Nice.
And then the last one, this is the one that I've been moving towards the most, is Loom. Have you played with this one, Tim?
I've never heard of it actually.
So Loom is great. Basically, you can get a free teacher's account. So easy. Easy install. You click it. It starts running. It does a little circle down in the bottom. And so you can have your face. It's recording you in a little circle down in the bottom. And then it kind of tracks you. So if you're moving around, like the camera on it tracks you too. Like it digitally tracks you. So the circle moves a little bit to follow you around and make sure that you're basically centered. But very straightforward, easy online editing. One click in, one click out. And then you can do trimming and a couple of basic editing things. And with a teacher's account basically you just have to have an EDU account and you can get free access to it. So Loom is one worth playing with if you're looking for another simple choice.
Nice. That sounds great. So as we're closing down this particular segment, I want to remind everybody, please caption your videos after you edit them. If you have, chop off the first 10 minutes of your video, but you don't do that with your caption file, they're no longer properly captioned at all. Because the caption file isn't going to know that you chopped off 10 minutes. Right. And the caption files are to the second. So you want to make sure that that's taken care of. Another part is make sure you're storing your videos in a place where they can be obtained by other people, viewed by other people. So it's really great to store them on your desktop in order to play it in Zoom.
Right.
And I do that all the time. But the moment that I want to share it with somebody else, I can't share it off of my desktop. So throw it in Google Drive, throw it in YouTube, Vimeo, 3C Media, some sort of streaming service. All of those also give you the ability to caption or upload a caption file. So you don't have to worry about that. You can do that with all of those, but do definitely make sure you're putting your videos someplace where people can actually access them, the people that you want to have access them.
Yeah.
So,
it's once it's streaming, you don't have to worry about it. They can go access whenever they like, get it up online. Okay, so for today's zippy tip, Tim, I have been loving this extension called Mote, M-O-T-E, and it's at justmote.me is the website. Basically, this is a Google Sheets and Google Google Docs and Google Slides add-on. You can click on anything on your doc, and with a single click on the comments, you can leave a voice message built right into the docs. This is great for a class like mine where I want to give feedback, maybe a little bit more complicated idea, but I also want my students to hear my intonation, right? Because I always worry about the, you know, like the flat tone of writing, right? It's like, change this. Hey, do this, do that. It's like, it gets a little bit aggressive feeling. And I think, you know, the younger generation is a little bit more like, hey, I want, you know, I need to feel that you're actually talking to me. And so this is a really, really great tool. I have just fallen in love with it. And I think we'll talk about it more in depth in the future. But if you're interested, you can get a trial for 30 days. And I think I'll put in a link. I think I can get extra 30 days. So maybe up to 60 days if you go check out in the higher ed tech podcast.com show notes. We'll put it in there so you can get an extra long trial if you want to use it.
Nice.
Okay, so Tim, we were talking a little bit about kind of a little bit of a loose concept of making changes in the classroom, right?
Yes.
A lot of times teachers start getting ideas. They're saying, hey, I heard about this thing on the Higher Ed Tech podcast or whatever it is, right? So, you know, or just recognizing that they need to make changes, that things aren't working as well as they want it for their flow. Maybe they want to make a change in the middle of the semester. Maybe they want to prep for it for next semester. But you had kind of brought this idea up because you said a few teachers have come and talked to you about it. So, so what are you hearing from teachers?
Well, basically, for us, we're now 5 weeks into the semester. So hopefully most of your classes have gotten to the point where things are fairly stable. You might even be starting to get into your first set of midterms or something like that. So this is often a time when being stable, you can sit back and just try to relax, or you can try to make some tweaks to things that maybe you don't like as much. And people are starting to ask those questions. Maybe they don't like the way certain things are happening, or maybe their students are asking about something and they've never heard of it before. So is this a good time to make changes? Is this a good time to investigate changes? How do we do it? And thought this might be a good time to talk about making changes. Sure. And part of what I wanted to bring out, first thing is a huge warning. Don't change your whole class up just because you heard it on Higher Ed Tech podcast.
What? You're saying not to flip everything upside down and then destroy your life?
Our because advice of is that key. Last statement.
Yeah. Well, we always do give the advice one thing at a time, make sure you know what you're doing with it, and then move on to the next thing as you're ready.
Always, always. And so this can be a very good time to make changes in your classroom. Mm-hmm. As long as you're being careful and you're choosing which change to make. So one of the things that's come up really recently is I've had several faculty come to me and say, hey, Discord, can we use it? Should we use it? What is it?
Discord is blowing up. Everybody talks about Discord these days.
And there are some people who are asking if they can run their whole class on Discord. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that because, frankly, I'm not that familiar with Discord. But that said, Discord is blowing up.
Yeah, you can technically, but you definitely would do a major change to what your class is because there's not video inside of it. It's like, maybe I'm speaking wrongly, so I want to be careful. But anyways, yes, let's continue.
So, but But Discord right now, that's where a lot of students are. Mm-hmm. So I had one teacher come to me and say, hey, my students are asking if I could, if we could, if they can create a Discord server for this class, and would I be okay with it? And could I join it? And what do you say? And I'm like, I'm jumping up and down saying yes. Mm-hmm. Because to me, what the students have just done is they've walked out of your class, they've all gone to the cafeteria and sat down to eat and talk about whatever they want to talk about together.
Yeah.
That's what they would do on campus. Now they're just doing it online and they're having these conversations. They've invited you into it. Man, that's even better.
Yeah.
But that also, it can allow for that outside communication that so many people right now are begging for.
For sure. Discord allows for interest. We could maybe do a later mm-hmm. longer conversation on Discord, but I agree. I think I mentioned in the past that my son says, like, he's over at Cal State Fullerton, and he says, you know, as soon as they get into the class, the first thing the kids start doing is texting each other, here's the Discord server, the private Discord server the teacher doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. But like every class, he said, it just happens automatically. So this is definitely a thing. If you're getting invited into your student's Discord, that's great too, because then you can support them and talk to them and say, hey, there's a misunderstanding standing here, or I didn't clarify, or whatever it is too.
And it's also something that is not recorded by the school, has nothing to do with the school. So you have the students can often feel freer to do stuff. On the other hand, it is not recorded by the school. It is often students may feel freer to do things and say things. So do be careful. You're still responsible for working with your students, even if they're, you know, ever you're with them. But I've seen classes that here's the Discord server and here's Zoom and here's this, and as ways of getting a hold of the instructor, different things like that. I think that's great. This is a great time to do that. And if you don't know about it, ask your students.
Yeah.
Besides communication tools, you may want to take a look at maybe video tools. We've got, for instance, at IVC, we've got Play Pause It. We've got some other video tools that you can work with that might do some really cool things in your class. And it's a good time to just introduce maybe one video here, a video there, even adding additional videos, new content that way. We've just added Padlet, which we talked about on our last episode, Flipgrid, anything like that. This might be a good time to just add in some of those things, one of those things at a time, and just see how it works. Does it work in your class? Does it work for your class? Those types of things.
Yeah, I think here we've got this like difference between a couple of things going on here, right? Because if you're saying, hey, I'm thinking about moving my whole class over to Discord, that's a pretty massive change, right? Like right. That's like a entire structural change to how you're running your class. I would caution strongly against trying to do something like that in the middle of the semester, but you could go and say, hey, I want to explore it with my students on the side as a back channel, right? And then consider using that in the future. With things like Padlet or Flipgrid or even Play Pause It, those can start as individual assignments and then become a part of your regular repertoire instead of like, that is not the entire basis of your teaching structure, right? And so
exactly.
Looking at those in different ways, I always, we said one at a time, but like if I find a tool that I want to play with, I'll just throw it in and play with it and see what happens, right? I'm just right into it and let's figure it out if it's going to work or not. But for something like something massive like a Discord or, for me, for moving to Nooks and, you know, those types of things, that is a big change that I had to carefully consider and recognize, okay, what's going to happen? How is this communication going to be different with the students? All of those types of things. So we want to kind of distinguish maybe platforms from tools, I guess.
Exactly. And even the tools, when you talked about when you find something cool, you go ahead and try it out. Number one, you didn't change your whole class. But the other is that you're not trying out, oh, okay, today we're going to try out Padlet, Flipgrid, and all of the same day.
Right.
You know, do ease them in unless it's the first day of class. You know, they don't know any better at that point and you can go with it. But the other thing is, if you're thinking about a new textbook or a new way of doing something, introducing small pieces like we were just talking about during the semester is often a good way to get you prepped for the next semester.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good point. So let's talk about this for a second, because if you're trying to move to ZTC, zero textbook cost, this is exactly what you should do. So you should say, hey, instead of using the textbook to talk about this topic and this unit, I'm going to go find the resources for free available online, and I'm going to build out my own individual unit without using the textbook and see how the students respond to it this time. When you're on a textbook, you have the safety of being able to go back and saying, hey guys, we're trying this, but it's not really working very well. Let's stick with the book for now. Like you know, you can have that when the students have already paid for that book. But if you just suddenly said, okay, my whole semester is going to be no textbook, right? Which I encourage, but, but you know, if you don't know what you're doing, or if you haven't planned that out, then when you run out of things, you can't just go, okay, go buy the textbook for this week, right? And you can't, if it's not on your syllabus, then it's not a requirement for the students to get, right? So it's definitely a good way to consider stepping into it.
Well, and to that point, many people have found that it takes three semesters to go from a textbook to ZTC just because of the work. And this is, again, that same type of thing, switching parts of it at a time rather than just one day you're on textbook, the next day you're off. Right. So,
yeah.
So one question that I think a lot of people are concerned about is, how fast is too fast to fix something that's broken? And how fast do you decide to pull the plug? My argument is, it depends on you as the teacher, but sometimes if it doesn't work the first time, that might be the time to pull the plug.
Okay. Can you give us an example?
You decide to switch and use Google Meet, for instance, and your students can't figure out how to get into it, and you're spending all kinds of time trying to figure that out, yet you have been working in Zoom just fine, and all you need to do is give them the link to Zoom, and it's the same link that they've used all semester, that might be a good transition. By the way, my suggestion is, in those types of communication cases, maybe take your office hours or your student hours and put them on the other tool. Mm-hmm. And try that out. That will get you and the students used to it one-on-one, rather than the whole class all of a sudden not showing up for a class. So it's figuring that out, where that is broken, not broken. Talk to somebody and, I want to do something with quizzes. Should I go to this extreme? And I'm like, whoa, hold on. You know, it's not broken. So tweak to fix it. On the other hand, I've had other people who it is broken, throw away the tool and move on to the next tool. So it can be both, but number one, don't be afraid to pull the plug.
Yeah.
If something's not working, pull the plug, move on to something else, or move back. If something is working, but maybe a little off, talk to people. You may need a setting change. But that's where maybe you don't want to pull the plug right away, but be ready to pull the plug. If it's hindering your class, stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always. It's about you and your interaction with your students. If that doesn't work, move on to something.
Here's a little side hint too. If you tell your students that something you're using doesn't work and you're going to cancel it, they're usually okay with that, because it's like, one less assignment for them, or
right.
You know, there could be any settings, but I've never had my students go, I can't believe you tried this thing and it didn't work, and then you stopped using it, right? Like, I do that type of stuff all the time, but like, you can, you know, the students are super forgiving of it. So if it doesn't work, you know, it's the same thing as you being forgiving of your students, saying, hey, I couldn't get this going. Right. Cool. Okay, I get it. That makes sense. I couldn't get it going either, so we're gonna have to try something different. And that happens. in life all the time. So, you know, give yourself a break.
And if you give yourself a break and you give them a break, they will give you a break. Mm-hmm. So if you don't understand a new tool, should you try it? It depends. Things like we were talking about Discord before, maybe talk to your students. Hey, students, are you interested in this? Let's play with this. They'll love it. Okay. They'll love that you're trying things out. If you come in and you say, I'm the Discord master and I'm going to determine all this stuff and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to fall on your face. Mm-hmm. So should you try it? Yes. But be careful in talking, in communicating with your students, and yeah, they will work with you.
Yeah. This is, we might've mentioned this in a previous show, but like students are now judging teachers on their abilities to use tools. Right. And so you need to come straight and clear with it. So, hey, if you say, I don't really know how to use this thing, but I'm going to try, they'll give you all the slack you need. If you tell them, we're going to be using this tool, how do I use it? I don't know. Click around, figure it out. That's a totally different thing. So it's all really about the approach to it, I in my experience. So definitely, you know, if you don't understand it, do a little research, try and figure out the basics of it, get started, do yourself set yourself up as a student, as an example. You could come to, you know, work with a colleague and get some help, as have someone do it on the other side with you. All those types of things are great ways to explore. And I do highly recommend them, but, you know, it's, you want to have some information when you're going in and some way of knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it with that tool.
Exactly. Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about editing videos and making changes in your classroom. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcasts and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. And if you have ideas for future shows, there's a link on that page where you can give us some of your topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support at 949-451-5696 or by emailing ivctech@ivc.edu. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman@ivc.edu.
If you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner, and we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Have a good one, everyone. Take care.